This is the CRA, yes, we are full. Full of excitement, I would say, of course. All right, we're gonna continue. Thanks very much for coming, and we're continuing with our program of our show, which is CRA in Practice, Dev Room. The next up is Marta Rybczynska. We'll talk about the CRA compliance and embedded systems, a practical look from the Yocto project world, please.
So, how many embedded developers are there in this room? Oh, damn it. Okay, so how many embedded product users are there? Yeah, so it means that this talk applies to all of you, basically. So if you do not know me, my name is Marta, and I talk a lot about security. When I do not talk about open source, basically. And those recent months, I'm doing a lot of work on the CRA, including the standardization and including early compliance for CRA. And this talk is about my personal opinion. There's no official statement of the Yocto project, and so on, and so on, and so on. Yeah. But first, what is Yocto project? Yocto project is a Linux, but not only, distribution creation framework, mostly for embedded, but you're not obliged to use it in embedded. And the advantage is that it's very easy to be extended by hardware vendors, and that's what they are doing. And it's de facto standard of building Linux distribution with open source licenses, Linux Foundation projects, the standard things. It is out there everywhere, starting from automotive till home appliances. And basically, you are very likely to own at least one Yocto project device at home. I'm just looking at this table and wondering how many of those thingies. It's hard to see from outside, right? You need to look into some, and this is when you open it up. So not going to do it right now. On the Yocto project side, the Yocto project itself, it is not a product itself under the CRA and doesn't have a manufacturer. So we could say that on the Yocto project side, we say, do not care that much, not many obligations, skip to next topic. But users of the Yocto project are typically manufacturers. They're full manufacturers under the CRA with the whole full compliance. And they are products that are using the Yocto project that fall into the important or critical category. So, in addition to that, people who do work on the Yocto project typically work for those manufacturers. So, when I do a CRA talk for the Yocto project people, usually you have a full room, basically. Now, a little bit of basics about the Yocto project. So, it's a distribution building, and a basic term is a recipe. It's an instruction to build one software package. It points to the source code, points how you are going to build it, how you're going to install it, and we have recipes basically to build the whole world. Recipes are grouped into something called layers. So layers is a logical group of recipes, so you can have a layer for specific hardware, you may have layers for specific functionality. Let's say, for example, MetaSecurity. And now, for the embedded people, I'm oversimplifying for a reason, because otherwise I wouldn't fit it on the screen. So, a simple example of how people do use it in embedded. So, you have some official open embedded and Yocto project layers. You configure them together to build the firmware you put on your device. Nice. But what happens in practice is that you, a vendor, you want to add your own application, you want to change a few things. So you create one layer where you add a new recipe for your application, and that package that is in the standard layer, that's good, but I need to enable one more option. So you do a modification. There's a way to modify recipes that come from other layers in your own layer. Okay. And then it's not, it's getting, the path is getting longer, people are getting more layers because there are layers for your old product, but you are using a chip from vendor X. That vendor is providing their own layer with their own fixes, and at the end, you end up with like 25 layers, and like 10 of them are modifying, or if you are lucky, 10 of them are modifying the base recipes. And they are not just enabling some configuration option, they are adding patches to the code. We start seeing dragon heads showing up, right? And so how does a recipe look like? That is this one, that's a real monster, and for demonstration purposes, but it's a real recipe of the Grub bootloader. So bootloader, as you know, if it were a product, it's on the important list of the CRA, but it's an open source project. So so what we have here, we can notice that we have the download location, it's in the the first thing in the SS URI. We also have CV products, so we change the, we notify what is the product name for vulnerability checking, and you can see a nice list of those CV something, those are patches for all those CVs. So this is an extreme example, but that's how recipes tend to end up after 5 years of maintenance. So what that it was that does the Yocto project already do for the CRA compliance? So we have SBOM generation, and no matter how complex your layer configuration ends up, you can generate this SBOM for that. And it's pretty pretty much detailed build time SBOM that can become gigantic if you enable too many options. It is in the current main branch, it's the SPDX 3. You can switch to SPDX 2, which the SPDX 2 is the current LTS, that's the default, that's going to change in the next one. You have also all provenance information. As you have all download locations, normally you are tracing all places you download your software from. You know which patches have been applied, except for really crazy things that you can do, because crazy things we can always do. You know what you have built. We also have non-vulnerability checking. So that's also integrated working with any layer setup with annotations that we have seen in the recipe. And there are quite many security tools that are packaged. There are recipes and layers for those things, including secure boot, security tools, even you can build the appliance with an intrusion detection system if you wish. On the process side, what do we have? We have a long-term support versions, support for security fixes, and the process of accepting or not a fix in the LTS release. So that's good with the 4 years LTS not being enough for most embedded embedded products expected lifetime, which is already one thing under discussion, but an open subject. Then we have testing, and pretty interesting testing because on multiple architectures, and history shows that the testing is frequently showing issues in upstream that the project has a lot of experience explaining to many upstream maintainers that something broke on some specific configuration with specific libc version and specific. So that they fix it. We also have a vulnerability reporting and a management processes. So there's a security team. And there are ways to manage security fixes by those tagging inside patches. So here probably we are doing way better than people by building their stuff from scratch. Those tooling is of course not perfect, but it is working pretty good. For some cases of Asterisk, see my talk tomorrow 9:30. Now about the challenges. So the first dragon we have already seen here. You have a recipe EA that has been that is the upstream. And then you have a vendor applying a patch to this code that they wrote. And even a complicated case, they took a patch set from one of their vendors and they applied that in addition. The question is then, how do you call that package A? In this case, is it A or is it something else? Take into account that people are really creative and those few patches that may be worth of two releases or more. So the current situation we have is that if a package has a lot of patches, it is still called the same package, even if it doesn't even look anymore like the same one. As a consequence, you need to tag all the security annotations by hand. What becomes a little bit complex if you are, even though you have 100 patches over the source tree, some people would say, yes, upstream that stuff. Yes, I would say try to upstream that stuff. The problem being frequently that people want to ship their device and the upstreaming is still under discussion. So it won't be in the LTS, they want to have in their product, so it will be upstream, but two project versions later. So that's one problem that there is, and honestly, the only solution I see to that stuff is to do an analysis of source code trees and find out the number, do the complete graph analysis and find out what we actually have. The second subject, secure by default configuration. So the current policy is to minimize the changes from upstream. What I run into frequently is that I audit a configuration and it turns out that the upstream project is actually unsafe by default. So, what do you do then? Many cases you just want to apply changes and do that secure by default. This is complicated to do at scale for hundreds of packages. Then we have the fact that the Yocto project is completely configurable, so you, with the same tree, you may be building a dev bot and you may be building an appliance. So it's very hard to put, to come with one set of standards and one configuration for people to agree on. And then, historically, there are vendors shipping their own layers for the Yocto project with their own hardening changes that are, of course, completely incompatible one with another. Change number three, for many important and mandatory solutions under the CRA, like the update systems, there's no default that is provided inside the Yocto project because outside there are multiple solutions that do exist. So you have, you as a vendor, you have multiple ways to integrate it all, and it's on the manufacturer's plate to correctly and securely integrate their important components. And that makes writing a nice complete risk analysis really hard without asking, well, there's a second volume of the risk analysis. Then in the embedded we have vendors that are literally years behind upstream. And yes, it's not 1 year. It's like, and we have people who are stuck on vendor software that is years behind upstream. As a consequence, there's no LTS whatsoever to give them security updates, so they are backporting or not fixes. And so if the Yocto project makes an important change for the security functionalities, it may turn out that it will ship on devices 5 years later, actually. 5 years, I'm really nice at that. So it is slowly changing for this year, the vendors getting more and more close to upstream, but for the embedded world, December 27 is basically tomorrow, because the devices are already being designed. So, to wrap up, in the embedded, it's really uneven. There are things that are working well, like basically the Iceman metadata, and it's really uneven from one vendor, one chip vendor to another, for example. And what requires work is that we have years and years of fragmentation of security solutions, so many vendors have their own stuff and do not want to throw it away. Secure by default, it's a really complex program to solve because upstream is frequently not secure by default. And we have hardware diversity, a big example of that being Secure Boot, that on the most popular embedded platform was a per chip specific solution until not long time ago. But we are advancing on the positive side. So, thank you. I guess we do not have time for questions, right?
Actually, we do have time for one question. Who is the brave person? Ask one question. And the next speakers, can you make yourself visible to us? Thank you.
Please sit down for the...
Thank you for that, Marta. I'll try to be quick. We manufacture OEM devices in the embedded space. I'm understanding that our customers would be the manufacturer under the CRA. and it's their responsibility for all of the software components that they receive within Yocto and elsewhere. And I'm trying to understand attestation. How do they ensure that each of the components is safe and review those? And when they're not, what do they do? How do they remove those components, or what are the solutions that they will have to be compliant, given that that's their responsibility?
So the question, if I understood it correctly, was how do those embedded vendors that are using Yocto project assure that the components they use are secure? Do you want a honest answer, or the honest answer is that they trust that they have been correctly integrated into the Yocto project? But as they, especially the bigger of them, are getting scared by the part of the CRA, they are starting into looking how to analyze that pile of data. But embedded people know already for a long time ago that they do not have 10 dependencies, they have more like 1,000. And analyzing 1,000 dependencies manually for secure configuration, that's not a one evening task, we can say.
That is true. It's all complicated. Thanks very much, Marta. A round of applause.